Today's workshop is going to be held by Dawood Adib. The topic, the title of the workshop is Principles Pertaining to the Iddah of the Woman When She is Divorced. Due to the nature of this topic, we will be soliciting a lot of questions from the sisters, and inshallah we'll try to try to work with those primarily, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. As we mentioned, this is not a lecture, it's not a class in, you know, in the strict sense of the word, it's a workshop, which means there'll be feedback, but it's only 50 minutes and we don't have a lot of time because we're already 15 minutes late, which will run into Sheikh Mahmoud Murad's class. So we don't have a lot of time. So we're going to have to begin now, and inshallah we'll try our best to get as much in as possible, and the sisters are going to be allotted the majority of the time, so that means we're going to have to be more patient for them to send up their questions in writing. And that means the brothers will just have to refrain from, you know, asking questions because the sisters have been getting shorted for the past day or two. What we're going to be discussing and presenting, inshallah, for everyone to take notes on, inshallah, is Ahkam al-Iddah. Ahkam al-Iddah. The legal rulings pertaining to the Iddah of the woman. And I'd like to begin, for the American Muslims, of course, who are listening, which is probably the majority of us, or English-speaking Muslims, that we should try to make a tasfiyah, as we mentioned yesterday, in our language, and even more importantly, or as important, the pronunciation, how we pronounce words. And what usually the English-speaking Muslims say here, they say, idat, idat. But the word is not, the woman is not in her idat. It's idda, idda, not idat. Idda. So let's try to make a tasfiyah on even the pronunciation. It's not, she's not an idat. It's idda. Alright? We don't have a lot of time, so let's begin. There's a hadith that is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim that we're going to use as a foundation. And the one that's in Muslim, unfortunately, we won't present. It's the longer version with more meat in the narration itself. The one that's in Bukhari, you can find it in the seventh volume of the English translation of Sahih al-Bukhari. In the seventh volume. And I believe in the new set, I don't know about the older set, but the new set, the smaller version, the more cleaned up version, I should say, cosmetically cleaned up, it's on page 158, in chapter 39, page 158, chapter 39, hadith number 5318. If you can't keep up, that's the nature of a workshop. Alright? Volume 7, Sahih al-Bukhari, page number 158, chapter 39. The chapter for those who are pregnant, whether they are divorced or their husbands are dead, their iddah or their period of waiting is until they lay down their burdens. Hadith number 5318. حدثنا يحيى بن بكير حدثنا الليث عن جعفر بن ربيعة عن عبد الرحمن بن هرمز العرج قال أخبرني أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن أن زينب بنت أبي سلمة أخبرته عن أمها أم سلمة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أن امرأة من أسلم يقال لها صبيعة. صبيعة كانت تحت زوجها توفي عنها وهي حبلى فخطبها أبو سنابل ابن بعكك ابن بعكك فأبت أن تنكحه فقالت والله ما يصلح أن تنكحيه حتى تعتدي آخر الأجلين فمكثت قريبا من عشر ليال ثم جاءت النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم فقال انكحي. This narration, the English translation of it is that Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lady from Banu Aslam named Subay'a, she was known as Subay'a al-Aslamiyya, she was from the tribe of Aslam, Subay'a al-Aslamiyya, a lady from Banu Aslam called Subay'a became a widow while she was Hubla, or in the other narration, while she was Hamil, meaning she was pregnant. She was pregnant. Abu Sanabil ibn Ba'kak demanded her hand in marriage. Demanded doesn't mean that you know, come on, you have to marry me. It means he requested. Ghataba. He requested from her marriage. But she refused to marry him and said, I swear by Allah, I cannot marry him unless I have completed one of the two prescribed periods. Then about 10 days after giving birth to the child, and in another narration, it says 20 days. It doesn't say that in the hadith that I just mentioned. I'm telling you that. And another hadith, it says 20 days. And another hadith, it says 23 days. The maximum is 23, and the minimum is 10, inshallah. And Allah knows best. After some days, we'll say, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after giving birth. She gave birth. Her husband had died. She was pregnant, and she gave birth. Yarhamakumullah. And she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told her, "Inkihi, you can get married now." And another narration it says, "You are now halal, and you may marry whomever seems clear to you that you want to marry them." That's basically the translation. There's also another narration, a narrative, that's the one that comes after it, which is 5319 on page 159. And this one is on the authority of Ubaydullah ibn Abdullah al-Arqam. It says that Ubaydullah ibn al-Abdullah, and not al-Arqam, excuse me, Ubaydullah ibn al-Abdullah, that his father had written to ibn al-Arqam a letter asking him to ask Subay'a al-Aslamiyya how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given her the verdict. She said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me his verdict that after I gave birth I could marry. These narrations, as we mentioned, become clearer when you look at the other narration in Sahih Muslim and some other collectors who have collected it. It becomes clearer because this hadith revolves around a dispute among some of the Sahaba and the people of their time after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death. The dispute was, some of the people of knowledge of that time believed that the woman had to wait 4 months and 10 days based on the ayah in the Quran. And the other people from among the Sahaba and those tabi'un who were connected to them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. And one of those people, one of those Sahaba who had the opinion based on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the iddah was when the woman relieves her burden, she drops her burden, her load, was this woman herself. So she's a narrator actually from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam herself. She went and asked that she was the case. As Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, we heard him say one time that the scholars of hadith, they say that the rawi, the narrator of the hadith, has more knowledge of the hadith than the one who didn't narrate the hadith. He has more knowledge of the hadith, and it's logical. If he's narrating the hadith, he has more knowledge of the event than the person who didn't narrate it. And this woman not only has more knowledge of the event, she was the one who was the topic of discussion. Subay'a al-Aslamiyya. Now what we want to do, inshallah, is, and this is extremely important, and the reason why I chose this, they asked me before I came, what do you want to do the workshop on? We want to do it on the iddah of the woman, because we have a super duper major mega problem in America on women getting divorced all the time. I get an average of 5 calls a week. 5 calls per week on the issue of divorce. I want a khula. I want a khula. I want to divorce my wife. I want to divorce my wife. I want a khula. And probably, like Imam Ibrahim is sitting here, he's been an imam of a masjid for a long time, he can probably tell you he probably gets 10 per week. So what we want to do is clear it up once and for all, because some of the brothers are not divorcing their wives at the right time. And some of the women are doing things they shouldn't be doing. There are 5 ahwal, or 5 anwar, or 5 cases in which a woman pertaining to iddah, in which a woman is in iddah. Number one, the first type of iddah, is the iddah of the woman who is pregnant. The iddah of the woman who is pregnant from a divorce. She'd been divorced. Her husband says, "Anti taliq." You are divorced. She is pregnant. And he said, "I divorce you," which some people think is not permissible. But in actuality, it's the opposite. That's one of the times when it is permissible. 1 week, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months, 9 months, right before delivery, she can be divorced, pregnant. There is no disagreement whatsoever from any of the ulama that a woman can be divorced while she's pregnant. Nobody disagrees with this. Insha'Allah. I have to be careful because Imam Ahmed, he said, and what lets them know that there's a total agreement about an issue. So I have to be careful. But to the best of our knowledge, no one disagrees. A woman can be divorced while she is pregnant. Or, connected to that type of iddah is the woman whose husband dies and she is pregnant. All that's in one category. The woman who is divorced, you are divorced. Or if he says it in Spanish, or if he says it in Urdu, or if he says it in Punjabi, or if he says it in Malay, or French, or Patois, or he says it in colloquial English, I'm giving you a pink slip right now. Everybody in America knows what giving you a pink slip means. When you get a pink slip, it means you're fired. To the Muslims in Mecca, they might not understand that. But our women understand what a pink slip is. You're fired. Or go back to your home. Go back to your father. That means you're divorced. If she's pregnant, or if her husband dies and she's pregnant, her iddah is when she delivers. Whatever is in her womb, that's when the iddah ends, when it comes out. And I'd like to make a special note on this. And it might sound silly. It might sound trivial. Let's say she has triplets inside of her. If 2 of them come out and the 3rd one doesn't, her iddah's not over. It might sound irrelevant or trivial, but or insignificant, but if she has quadruplets, she has 4 children, 3 of them come out, that one doesn't come out, or it's coming, but it hasn't come out yet, her iddah is not over until everything that is inside of her comes out. Alright? When everything comes out, she is free to get married. The second type of iddah is the woman who her husband dies. Her husband dies. We don't have to ask if she's pregnant or not. We gave that one already. Her husband dies. The iddah for that woman is 4 months and 10 days. as long as she's not hamil, as long as she's not pregnant. I hope you're listening, especially the sisters. 4 months and 10 days is the second type of iddah, the woman whose husband dies, leaving her a widow. So Subay'ah's case wasn't this case. Her husband died, but she was pregnant. Alright? The third type of iddah is the woman who has a menses. A woman who has a menses. Her iddah, wa alaykum salam, her iddah is 3 monthly courses. 3 periods. 3 periods of menstruation. And I remember one time I was listening to a tape of Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani. This is when I was living in Albany, New York. And he made a mistake. He was a human being, of course. He made a mistake. He said it was 3 months and 3 days. Her iddah was 3 months and 3 days. It slipped of the tongue. Right? So I called him up. I never forget it. Because my friend Yusuf Mohsen, who lives in East Orange, New Jersey, I was living there near him. He was at my house that time. And this was at the time when Sheikh al-Albani was able to receive telephone calls. Right? From anybody. So I called him up. And after asking all these people, man, is there something that we don't know that the Sheikh knows? It's 3 days, 3 months and 3 days. Like, what's going on? I was checking all the books, calling everybody all over the world. Man, the Sheikh must have something, you know, like, you know, what's going on? There's no more revelation, so what's going on? So I called him up, and I said, Sheikh, I want you to listen to this. I put the phone, the receiver next to the phone, next to the tape recorder. And I said, you hear what you're saying? And I didn't know if he heard it or not, so I kept playing it over and over and over. He said, I made a mistake. I'm a human being. Can't you understand? I made a mistake. Get out of here. Rahmatullahi alayhi. So the third type is the woman who has a menses. We want to make a special note. That three monthly cycles has to be determined by the Islamic calendar. Not by the Gregorian calendar. The iddah for the woman cannot be when she has a menses, the 3 menstrual cycles. It's not by the Gregorian / Christian / Kufr / Barney, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck calendar. Not by the calendar of the Kufar. Not January, February, March, April, May. No. It's on the Islamic calendar, which means not just for Ramadan we should be keeping up with these months, but we should be keeping up with these months every single day and month. And that's the months, those are the months we should be using, and that's the calendar that we should be using. Alright? Okay. The next one, number 4, is the iddah for the woman who doesn't have a menses. Either because she's too old. Alright? She's too old to have a menses. Or she's one of those women, like one sister I was teaching in class about 7 years ago at a masjid, and she was 28 years old. Menopause. 28 years old. She's in menopause. So it's not necessarily that she's too old. Alright? Or she's too young to have a menses, which might sound strange to some people, and this is a misnomer and a misconception to the Muslims, especially in America, I'm absolutely sure, that we believe that a girl can't get married until she has a menses. But a girl can get married at 6 with no menses. 8 with no menses. She can get married. She doesn't have to have a menses to get married. So the woman who's either too old to have a menses, or there's some medical problem, or she's too young. She hasn't had a menses yet. Alright? Her iddah is 3 months. Not 3 menstrual cycles, logically, because these are the women who don't have them. So it's 3 months. Not January, February, March. Not on the Kufr calendar, the Gregorian calendar. It's on the Hijri Islamic calendar. Alright? The fifth one is the woman who has been contracted to be married. She's been contracted to be married. Ma'qud alayha bighayri dukhul. She's the woman who's been contracted to be married, but her husband hasn't entered her yet. He didn't enter her. And this might sound silly. This might sound, you know, strange. But we have some situations where the person marries the woman, and right before consummation, I remember because I performed the marriage one time in Philadelphia on a Friday evening. No, it was a Saturday. Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon. The sister called me up. Her husband was on the other end. They were divorced that Monday. 2 days later, with no consummation. All right? Or, you have some brothers, I know one personally, who they get married, and they say, tell the sister, we're going to hold off for about a year. We're not going to consummate it for about a year. This particular brother, he likes to see, you know, what's going on, to see if he's able to live with her, see what kind of woman she is, and before he goes, you know, into her. And if things don't work out, then he just, you know, divorces her without consummation. People do it. All right? That woman who has been married, the contract of marriage, there's the act of nikah. And the young brothers are smiling. They say, man, that guy's crazy. There's been an act of nikah. عقد عليها ولم يدخل وطلقها. He married her with the contract of marriage and he didn't consummate it and then he divorced her. The iddah for that woman, ليس لها iddah. She doesn't have an iddah. That woman doesn't have an iddah. Close your notebooks. Everybody now. Put them all away. Put all your notes away. This is a workshop. It's not a class. It's not a lecture. Put all your notes away immediately. من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever deceives us or cheats us is not of us. It's a statement of our messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can't see the sisters, but we just trust them. Alhamdulillah. They can't see us. We can't see them. And this is the way it should be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the next conference, the 14th one, that this will be the case. We never see them, and they never see us during the whole conference. May Allah give it to us. Okay. What's the iddah, brothers, for the woman who is pregnant and her husband divorces her? Anybody, raise your hand. Naam, over here in the front. Huh? She delivers the baby. After she delivers the baby. Until she delivers the baby. The woman who her husband divorces her and she's pregnant, her iddah ends when she delivers the baby. What if she has triplets until all of them come out? If two of them come out, is the iddah over? Okay, so the third one has to come out. What is the iddah of a woman who is aiset? She can't have menses. What is her iddah? She can't have menses. Three Islamic calendars? Wrong. Next. In the back, right, with your hand up. If she has three Islamic calendars, man, she can be waiting for 36 months. Huh? Three Islamic months? What do you mean three Islamic months? She has to wait 3 months calculating by the Islamic calendar, not by the Gregorian calendar. Why are we not using the Gregorian calendar? Number one, because we're Muslims. Number two is because the Gregorian calendar, it has problems because they calculate by the sun, right? Some of the days are 28, some of the days are 29, some of the days are 30, some of the days are 31, right? For us, the month is either 29 or 30. Doesn't go beneath that, doesn't go beyond that, even though we have the Ramadan, the beginning of Ramadan, some of us, one day, another day, a second day, third day, we've got all these different moons, all right? Allahumma sta'an. What is the iddah of the woman who has menses? Thatu hayd. She has menses. In the back. No, your hand is up. You have your hand up. 3 months? No, not 3 months. No. 3 menstrual cycles. 3 menstrual cycles. What is the iddah of the woman who is pregnant and her husband dies? No. 4 Islamic months and 10 days. 4 months on the Islamic calendar and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. She has to wait. Is that true? Huh? That's not true? What's the iddah of a woman who's pregnant and her husband dies? 3 months and 10 days? No. No, with the blue, with the blue cap on. You forgot what you put on this morning, huh? Is that green or blue? It's green? Okay, that's my fault. I'm getting colorblind. Huh? What's the iddah of the woman who is pregnant and her husband dies? When she delivers. How could you forget that, Bilal? I don't know, man. You know. What is the iddah of the young lady? She's 4 years old. And by the way, there is agreement from the ulama that a girl can get married in the cradle. This is not strange or weird. This is Islam. You just can't consummate it. That's all. She can't consummate it, of course. But she can get married in the cradle. Nobody disagrees with that. Okay? Okay, so we're straight with that? The first one. The first type of iddah is what? Because we don't have that much time. The first type of iddah is what? The first one we mentioned is the woman who? She's pregnant and her husband dies. Right? No. She's pregnant or her husband dies. She's pregnant or her husband dies. The second one? Now the second one in order. Nobody remembers. Oh, open your books up. Open your notebooks up. Huh? The woman who has a husband that has died and she's not pregnant. Her iddah is what? 4 months and 10 days. The third one? Just read it. Read it from your notes. The woman who has a menses. Right? Her iddah is? Salatatu Ashur. 3 months. The fourth one is the woman who doesn't have the menses because of what? She's too old to have a menses? She has a medical problem, she can't have a menses? Or she's too young because she hasn't had a menses yet? No. 3 menstrual cycles. Yeah, they said 3 months. It's 3 menstrual cycles, right. And the fourth, what is that, the fourth one? And the fifth one? She's been contracted to be married, but she hasn't. It hasn't been consummated yet. She has no iddah. She has no iddah. Now, we want to move on, inshallah. We're now going to give the rights of the iddah. The rights of the iddah. The rights pertaining to the iddah. And there are five. The huquq. في العدة الحقوق في العدة خمس. The rights pertaining to the عدة are five. The second one is the right of the husband who has divorced her. The right of the husband who has divorced her. The mutalliq, with a kasra, mutalliq. The person who divorced his wife is called the mutalliq, with a kasra, mutalliq. Aye, not mutalliq, with a fatha. Mutalliq, al-zawjul mutalliq, the divorcing husband, the one who's divorcing his wife. The right, the second right out of the five, the second right out of the five, is that man has in his hand the power and the authority of raj'ah, or ruj'ah as some say, meaning to take her back to break the iddah. That's in his hand, it's not in the hand of the woman. The women don't have the power of returning to their husbands invested in them. The power of returning or breaking the iddah or ruj'ah is in the hand of the man. Alright? Which lets us know that a woman who asks for a khura' while she's in her iddah, she can't return to her husband. Alright? That right is in the hand of the man when he divorces her. And we don't have time to go into a whole lot of things. Those things we probably want to talk about. I can feel it. I can see the wheel turning. The third right is the right of the woman. The right of the woman. The second one is the right of the man. The third right is the right of the woman pertaining to housing and provision, maintenance. The right of the woman pertaining to as-sukna wa-nafaqa. Housing and maintenance. She has the right to be housed and she has the right to be maintained. The fourth right is the right of the janin. Haqqul janin. Al-janinu. Which is the fetus. That thing that she's carrying. See? The man has a right. The woman has a right, and even the unborn child has a right. The unborn child, the janin, has a right if he or she is found inside the womb of the mother. Their right is that their genealogy is known. That their genealogy is known. What we mean by that is that a man can't marry a woman who is pregnant even though brothers are doing it. They're saying it, I'm tablighana. She was a Christian girl and I'm out there tablighana. So I brought her to Islam and then I married her but she was pregnant. Haram. Haram. A man cannot marry a woman who is pregnant. Even if he doesn't consummate it. And if he consummates it, it's doubly haram. Doubly haram. Because it's not permissible for a man to take his water and irrigate the field of another man. It's not permissible for a man to take his sperm and put it on the sperm of another man. Haram. Alright? So the fourth right is the right of the child in the mother's womb that his or her, the child, nesab, their genealogy is known. That child has the right that their genealogy be known. In other words, who's my father? Okay? Also, connected to that, is her womb has to be clear. That's one of the reasons why she waits 3 menstrual cycles. We want to determine, one of the reasons, if she's pregnant or not. Because we want to know who the father is. Alright? And I've had at least in the past year 3 cases of women being married on their iddah. Being married to another man on their iddah. While they're in the state of iddah. May Allah help us. And the fifth right is the right of the suitor, the new suitor. We don't mean the person who has a suit on. Doesn't mean that. Al-Khatib al-Jadid. Al-Khatib. We need to learn these terms. Because we, alhamdulillah, the English-speaking Muslims, we have a lot of, you know, Islamic, Arabic terms in our vocabulary. Salah, Dua, I'tikaf, Siyam. We need to upgrade our vocabulary. That's why we're giving these words now in Arabic. Al-Khatib. Al-Khatib. Al-Khatib is the suitor. The person, the man who's trying to get married to that woman. He's called the Khatib. And the makhtuba is the young lady who's being sought. Right? The man is the seeker, and the makhtuba is the young lady who's being sought for the khitba. Just like the word khutba, but khutba has a dhamma, u, the same word, but put a kasra there, khitba. That's when the man seeks the woman and they're getting some contract engagement, we call it. And we call it intended. That's what we call it, intended. The khatib is the man who's intended. The makhtuba is the woman who is getting ready to get married. And the actual engagement, for lack of better words, is called khitba. Alright? That fifth one is the right of that new man, that he goes into the marriage on basira. It's crystal clear that that woman's womb is free of any other man's sperm. Nothing's growing in there. Alright? Those are the four of the five, for brothers who were saying, you know, you said it was five, right? But where's the first one? The second one is what? The right of the husband who divorced, right? The third right is the right of the woman, right? The right of the woman for what? Housing and maintenance. The fourth right is the right of the janine, the fetus, the unborn child, right? That their genealogy should be known. The fifth right is the right of al-khatib, al-jadid, the new suitor. The man who's coming now, she's been divorced, right? And he's coming now to marry her. Okay? He has the right that that womb is clean, clear. Nothing's in it. The first right is the right of our Lord. Haqqullah. The right of our Lord. And the right of our Lord is, in the shortest terms, is that those other four rights are done right, are done correctly, that we can't violate any of those other rights. If you violate any of those other rights, then you've violated the right of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has legislated all of this, and He has the right to be worshipped. And this is our worship. Those other four rights are part of our worship. In other words, for instance, a man can't divorce his wife, say, anti taliq, or get out of here, scram, I don't want you anymore. Or, I'm giving you a pink slip, or any of those terminologies, expressions that we use. Right? Or may Allah keep us from using them and give us good, wholesome, healthy Islamic marriages, and we can hold hands all the way into Jannah, inshallah. Ameen. But in the case that he says, I divorce you, he can't tell her now, get out of here, get out of the house. She's in our iddah. He can't tell her to get out of the house. And the iddah here, we mean by the first type of divorce or the second type of divorce, which is called as-sughra, batin baynunatu sughra, the revocable divorce, not the irrevocable divorce. Irrevocable divorce is the third one when she has to leave the house. But the first one or the second one, he can't put her out and she can't leave. They can't say, okay, let's agree to this. You divorce me, I'm going to leave, all right? If they do that, they have violated the first right, the right of Allah. They cannot put their women out and their women can't leave. We don't want to get into what happens here in America. The brother's beating me down, he's stabbing me, doing shoot holes and roundhouse kicks and all of that. Or the sister keeps throwing a hot, you know, buckets of hot grits on me. I can't stay in the house with her. I'm not into all of that today. We're not into that. We're just talking about the regular things, the standard things, not the homeboy American stuff that be happening. All right? May Allah help us. Allah. Oh, Allah, help us. Oh, Allah, help us. Oh, Allah, please help us. Allahumma sa'an. He can't put her out, and she can't leave. That's the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This basically is all we wanted to say, and we are hoping that this has been made clear. It's now 22 minutes after 9. I think we've exhausted the time. We have two questions from the sisters, inshallah. We wanted to talk about the khitbah. We wanted to talk about the khitbah, the conditions of the khitbah and the rights of the khitbah, the engagement, but we don't have time to talk about it. We also wanted to talk about what a man can see when he wants to marry that woman. We don't have time to talk about it. Yeah, I know the brothers want to hear that. The first one is, what is the youngest girl, the youngest a girl can consummate a marriage? The youngest a girl can consummate the marriage is when she has reached the age of menses. When she reached menses. And I just found out yesterday, and it's not uncommon. In fact, my daughter, who is 9 years old, one of her friends and playmates and comrades, I hate to use the word comrades, but one of her sahabiyat back in New Jersey, last year had her menses. My daughter's 9 years old. One of her friends had her menses last year when she was 8. She has to wear her jilbab now. She has to wear hijab all the time. She's a woman. According to Islam, she's mukallafa. She's a woman. And you might not like it. It might not sound right to you. It might not, you know, you might have a problem with it. She can consummate if she gets married. Now, you know, some of us, oh, that's child molestation, pedophilia. It's permissible. That's the answer to the question. All right? Whether you want to do it or not, that's up to you. But it can be done. And what's the proof? Our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at 6, and he consummated it at 9. Not as some people are trying to make the flimsy excuse of being apologetic, making up some narrations, or finding some narrations under the Rosetta Stone, or the Dead Sea Scrolls hadith, I call them. You know, he married her at 18. Consummated at 21. No, he consummated at 9. She was 6 years old. She was still playing with her dolls and the little girls out in the street. If a khula or divorce, and the sister says khula slash divorce, you can't say khula slash divorce, because a khula is not a divorce. A divorce is talaq. A khula is not a divorce. It's a fesakh. It's an annulment. Khula is not a divorce. But for sake of time and conversation, we'll say, if a khula or divorce was pronounced in the day, and that, I can't read this, and that, in that day, and that evening, she gets her menses. Does she only have 2 more Islamic months for her iddah, or as she will have 3 periods, menses, in that time? Okay, first of all, the khula is different from the divorce. The khula is different from the divorce. If the woman has been... All right, let's go back. First of all, and we don't have a lot of time, as we mentioned, it's important that we give the times that a man can divorce his wife. Yes, the times that a man can divorce his wife. The man cannot divorce his wife. He cannot. I repeat, he cannot. I repeat, a man cannot divorce his wife these 3 times. Number 1, when she is on her menses, it is not permissible for a man to divorce his wife when she is menstruating. It is haram, as opposed to pregnant. It is halal. All right? Halal for him to do it when she's pregnant. Haram for him to do it while she's on a menses. This is called talaq al-bid'i. It's a bid'ah type of divorce. It is haram. We're not going to get into does it count or not. Some of the ulama say it counts. Some of the ulama say it doesn't count. That's not the concern right now. We can ask the ulama who are here. The second time a man cannot divorce his wife is when he has been intimate with her. And I'm not talking about kissing, hugging, fondling. He has had sex. If he has had sex with his wife within that month, just one time, even if it was 5 seconds, may Allah help the men. Ameen. He cannot divorce her. He cannot divorce that woman once he's been intimate with her within that month. Let's say it's the first of Muharram, right? And he wants to pronounce divorce, and he just had sex with his wife on the first day of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic calendar. And he wants to divorce his wife on the 28th day of Muharram. Right? You can't say it more than once at one time. You can only say, I divorce you. That's it. And by the way, once he pronounces divorce, he doesn't wait until the second menses comes and it's over again and then says, I divorce you again. Some people think that he says it 3 times with that first divorce. He has to say it for each month. Some people think that. No, it's one pronouncement. She goes through the entire iddah, that's it. All right? He can't divorce her when he's been intimate with her in that month. He can't divorce her while she's on her menses. He cannot divorce her saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Alright? As for a khula, a woman can get a khula like a divorce, like when she's pregnant. She can get a khula when he's been intimate with her 8 seconds before. 3 seconds before she has for the khula. 1 second. Or it was the after, right? Yeah, after, excuse me, not before. After he is intimate with her, soon as they make ghusl, she could say, I want a khula. She could say, I want a khula while they're doing it. She can get a khula standing on her head, riding a bicycle. It doesn't make any difference. She can ask for a khula anytime. It doesn't make any difference. I'm using these crazy extreme examples so you'll understand a woman can ask for a khula anytime. Anytime. Menses, no menses, doesn't make any difference. Alright? I hope that's clear. Inshallah. Now, to try to answer the question. If a khula was pronounced in the day, in that evening she gets her menses, does she have to wait 2 Islamic months? Because we're separating the word khula from divorce. If she gets her menses, let's say she asked for a khula. I want a khula right now. I want to be annulled. I want to be released. He said, okay, khala'tuki. I release you with a khula. Khala'tuki. You're free. She gives back the dowry. Immediately she has to leave if it's his house. Immediately he has to leave if it's her house. Immediately. They can't stay in the house together. They cannot stay in the house together. It's over. All right? If she has her menses and he did that at Fajr, she has for that Fajr. And she has her menses at Zuhr. And it ends. 3 days later, she's free to get married. It's not a month. The iddah for a woman who has a khula is not a month. The iddah for a woman who has a khula is not a month. It's one menstrual cycle. So that means every woman's iddah for a khula is going to be different. Because it's one menstrual cycle, not 1 month. Alright? As for the woman who gets divorced by her husband, you're divorced, and her menses comes that evening, she has 2 more menses to have after that. Alright? The first one came that evening, she's clean. He doesn't touch her. If he touches her, touching her means have sex. The iddah is broken. We know what some people say. If the man has sex with his wife, the iddah is broken. It is broken. All right? The second question from the sisters. The brothers are raising their hand, but remember we said the women haven't been getting any questions answered. This is the women's day, inshallah, and the men will come after if there's any time left. Wallahu musta'an. In my culture, we get engaged for a year, but we are married by the Quran, but they don't live together. Is that wrong? And they don't let the couple stay together alone unless a third person is with them. Is this permissible? They do this so the couple may get to know each other. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and the Sunnah. He revealed the Quran and the Sunnah. The Sunnah came down while the Quran was coming down. And Alhamdulillah, we have the explanation of culture by the Quran and the Sunnah. There's only two cultures in this life. Islamic culture and Jahiliyyah culture. That's it. Either you have an Islamic culture or the Jahiliyyah culture, and that's why some of the scholars of Islam, they say, من دخل الإسلام خلع رداء الكفر. من دخل الإسلام خلع رداء الكفر ودخل الإسلام عريا. They say whoever enters Islam, they make a khula. They make a khula. They throw off the cloak of kufr. Because khula means to take off your clothes, to take off your coat or something like that, to remove your cloak. That's what the word khula means. Khala. Whoever enters into Islam, khala rida al kufr. They throw off the cloak or the clothing of kufr, and they enter into Islam naked. And they enter into Islam naked, meaning they're waiting for Islam to come and clothe them now, from the Quran and the Sunnah. So our culture is the Quran and the Sunnah, not Pakistani culture, not Afghani culture, not Bangladeshi culture, Turkish culture, American culture, Malaysian culture. Our culture is Islam. If your adopted culture coincides with that, then it's our culture. All right? This is not from Islam. To have a man and a woman get together, get married, and then they can't be with each other, and they have to have a third party with them. No. Once they get married, they consummate it, that's it. That's it. That's the answer to that question, and that definitely, the answer is, it is wrong. We have to hurry up, inshallah. In a khula, for khula, what happens if the man does not accept the sister's announcement of khula? If he doesn't accept it, then she goes to the imam. She goes to the imam, or the Islamic authority in their community, and he will talk to that man. Maybe he can get some brothers who's on the board of the masjid or something like that. They can all sit down and talk to him and tell him that she has rights. You can't keep her in slavery. You can't keep her in bondage. She has the right to get out. She has the right to be released. Alright? This is not a talaq. This is a khula. Take the dowry, akhi. Let her go. She's justified. We've reviewed the case. You have the ability to take care of her. You hang around the house looking at football games all day. You don't look for a job. Or you're beating her up. Or you're doing this or that. Whatever it is. She's justified. This is after the imam tells her all the hadiths. A woman, any woman who seeks a divorce, and she doesn't have a valid Islamic reason, the imam is going to tell her. If he's a competent imam and has the best interest at heart of the Muslims in his community, he's going to tell her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ayyu imra'atin talabat min zawjiha talaq bighayri batsin." Any woman who asks for divorce without a valid reason from her husband, then the smell, the fragrance of paradise is haram for her. The imam is going to tell her, "Inna al-mukhtali'at wal-muntazi'at hunna al-munafiqat." Surely the women who ask for khula all the time or without a valid reason, or the women who want to be separated from their husbands all the time, are the hypocrites. Authentic hadith. He's going to tell her all of those hadiths after bringing the ayats of Quran. Alright? But she's justified. Right? He's going to tell the brother, "Release her, akhi. I'm not releasing her. Tell her, I'm not down with this. Get out of here." Then the imam can make what we might call in English an administrative release. An administrative release. Alright? I've done this before. For instance, the brother, he lives in another city, or he's away from her. We know where he is. We've talked to him. I sent him a registered letter, certified. On this day, the month of Sha'ban, 14 such and such, Hijra, you so-and-so, brother, and we so-and-so, say that if you don't let the sister go in a khula within 30 days, or 20 days, or 40 days, she will be released from you. She's no longer your wife. Alright? This is important for the people to have their communities, you know, solid, and we don't have time to get into the whole thing. We're going to try to shorten them up now, inshallah. What were we saying? Yes. So she wants the khula, she has the right to get out. Alright? Even if he doesn't take back the dowry, doesn't make any difference. Even if there was no dowry, she still has the right to get out. And I have to put a plug in for the sheikh, because he hasn't been getting his props. Sheikh Abu Bara' Ghassan Abdul Fattah Al-Barqawi, he has compiled a book that I have the table of contents at my house. I call it Khula from A to Z. And I'm hoping that it'll be published soon. He deals with everything you can think of. All the questions, everything you can do. It's like a reference manual for Khula. Inshallah, we ask Allah to let him get it. And Sheikh Mahmoud Murad is here. I don't think we have any more time. Maybe we can deal with this later, these questions the sisters have. The brothers can tell the sisters, you're a witness. I'm taking these questions and I'm putting them inside my pocket. You see? This is an amana. I'm putting them inside my pocket, inshallah, and we're going to try our best to get them answered today at some session. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to try our best, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته